Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barras, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Bruce Weiss, and I hope you're listening to Stardish Radio. I do.
This is the incredibly groovy Carolyn Hennessy with the incredibly groovier Girls of Stardish.
Hey, this is Claire Coffey, and you're listening to Stardish Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
All right. This is Stardish Radio with Graham Shields, here with Joanne, Jen, and Desi.
Hi, this is Lynn Herring, and you better dish, baby, with the Let's Dish Baby crew at Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Stardish Radio. I'm Joanne, your host, with Desiree. Jen is off tonight. Hi, Des.
Hi.
How you doing, girl?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited.
So am I.
Well, because tonight is a very special simulcast with our friends from In the Zone, Ryan and Soapy. They'll be with us in just a few minutes. So for everyone in the chat room, our call-in number is 347-945-5423, so get dialing because I know that you guys are going to want to talk to our special guest. Also, before we start, I want to remind everyone, especially the AMC fans, tomorrow night at 10 o'clock we'll have the one and only Katie McLean on Stardish. So very excited about that. Also, Monday, John Brotherton, Jared Banks from One Life to Live, and check out our MySpace calendar for the amazing lineup that we have so far for the month of June, and it's only going to get hotter, right, girl?
Woo-hoo. That's right. I'm so excited.
I'm telling you. I am. Ryan and Sophie will be with us in just a few minutes, so I am going to, in the meantime, introduce our other special guest, our very, very special guest. He is... he's been on General Hospital since 91. He came to Port Charles as the, and I have a new word, rapscallion, estranged brother to Robert Scorpio, the commissioner at the time. And he has since mended family fences and eventually went on to supersede the role of his big brother, Robert, as PC's favorite commish. So without any further delay, I want to welcome to Stardish Radio Mr. John J. York.
Yay!
Hi, John.
Can you hear me, Houston? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How are you doing, darling?
I'm very good, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good. This is Desiree on the other line.
Hi.
Hi, Desiree. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm from California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
root
Desiree
for the Lakers
is actually...
Tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Lakers.
No, I don't like basketball.
Oh, okay,
like
well, never mind. Let's talk
like
soap
opera.
There you go.
She's a football girl. She,
yeah.
She's a good. She's a Dolphins girl.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In a few minutes, we're gonna have a live simulcast with another show called In the Zone. They're going to be calling in and joining in with some questions for you also. You are such a hot commodity on the internet blog talk site that everybody just wants a piece of you.
They can have
you
whatever
have
piece you want. Whatever piece you want to divide.
Oh, wow. Well, John, I mean, you've been on General Hospital for such a long time, and you do such an amazing job as Mac. I mean,
well, thank you,
I'm a little giddy because I've been watching you forever, you know, and you know, my sister and I always used to have little crushes on you as we were watching as we were growing up. Not to say that you're old because I'm not that far away, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm getting old. I'm getting up there in age, and there's a lot up on top of the mountain, but it's okay. It's
no,
all good.
No, you're fantastic and handsome as ever. So age doesn't do anything but improve people is from what I think. So
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Desi, she's a youngin'. She don't know the difference.
It's been a great ride on the show.
Yeah, wow. Before we start, Sophie and Ryan are on the line. I'm going to pick them up so they can join in.
Okay.
Ryan.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Is Sophie with you?
Yes, she is. I got her with me.
Okay. Well, John is on the phone, so say hi to John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Is Brian or Ryan with an R?
With an R.
Ryan. How you doing, Ryan? And hi, Sophie.
Hi, John.
I'm pretty good. Doing pretty good. I'm really excited to be co-hosting this event with Stardust with you, and I just... let me just get my little fangirl moment out right now. I've been a fan of her since I was a kid, so this is a really nice thing to be able to talk to you with Stardust tonight. So I wanted to thank Joanne and Desi and everyone else for doing the simulcast with our show tonight.
Well, it's great, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
And yeah, glad to have you guys. Definitely, we're definitely glad to have you guys. Okay, so let's see here. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit on how you landed the role as Max Scorpio?
Well, let's see. Let's go back 17 years to, I would say, late November of, that would be 1990, and I started auditioning, and I had a reading with Mark Teschner, the casting director, and I believe he called me back to read for producers. Now we're in December. And they liked me, and they tested me, and the New Year's, the holiday passed, we're in January, there was a test of five guys, and they liked myself and Paul Satterfield, who ultimately ended up playing Paul Hornsby, but it was the two of us that were testing for Max Scorpio, and we read with Finola Hughes and Tristan Rogers, and had a great time doing that, and then we just waited a few days and got the phone call. Actually, I was waiting tables at the Cheesecake Factory out here in California, and I was pretty hopeful and, you know, thought, wow, you know, maybe this could be the one. I was excited, thinking maybe I'll get this job. You know, you never know. And I was expecting the phone to ring, expecting a lot of phone calls and messages on my phone machine. And nothing. I was at a wait shift, and I kept calling home, and there were no messages. Kept calling home, there were no messages. Kept calling home, no messages. Serving cheesecake, no messages. And finally, I was pretty depressed. However, by the time I got home, you know, 20, 30 minutes later, there were 15 messages on my machine at home. And, you know, everyone calling me to congratulate me because word spread pretty quick. You know, that I got the job and my agent called and friends knew and my wife knew, and it was all very exciting. I got the job, and I found out, you know, shortly thereafter that Paul ended up getting the role of Paul Hornsby on the show. So we both, you know, came out winners.
That's fantastic. That's a great story. That really is, you know, to show like what you were doing before you know, while you're auditioning, reading tables. That's such a classic actor story.
And not only that, my wife was about to have, you know, a baby. So she was 8 months pregnant, and we were due February 23rd, so I really didn't know what was happening, and this audition came along. So I got the job. I started working on the show January 14th. I still had a week of wait shifts left over because they gave us 2 weeks work at a time, so I still had a week left. The manager was very nice and said, don't worry about it. We'll cover your shifts. You know, I know how your schedule is now. And so that was great because I didn't want to let go of that job. I didn't know how long I'd be here as an actor. And I started the show, and 3 weeks later, on February 9th, my daughter was born, and here we are 17 years later.
Wow.
Just like
that is such a fantastic story.
Yep, I'm a pretty lucky guy.
At what point did you know, after you joined the cast and got a contract role, did you know and say, you know what, this is the role, this is where I'll be? Did you ever have that, you know, thought, okay, I know I'm home and that's it?
You know what, I don't know that I even still have that feeling. I just love this job. It's one of those, you know, there's definitely a part of me that believes in fate and maybe, you know, just things that are supposed to be the way they're supposed to be. But there's also this business and this industry is constantly changing and things change. And,
right.
you know, all I ever set out to do was, you know, to try and do a good job and try to represent the show the best I could and, you know, be a team player. And there's a lot of very talented, you know, beautiful people on the show. And even more than beautiful, there's just a lot of very talented actors on the show that I've seen come and go as well. So,
right.
you know, you never know. And all I can do is do the best job at hand and try to represent myself and my family in the show as best as I can. And that's what I try to do and let the cards fall where they may. And hopefully, you know, it'll go as long as it wants to go as far as I'm concerned.
That's fantastic. It's you do an amazing job. I can't say that enough for you.
Yes.
You really, really do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right now, was acting your first choice for a profession?
No. I don't know really what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be when I grow up. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. when I was growing up in Chicago, I do know that when I was 8, 9 years old, watching the Rose Bowl, we had 10 feet of snow outside my window, shoveling snow and the whole deal, freezing cold. And I'm watching the Rose Bowl, and I always said to myself, I want to live there. I want to live in California. I knew at that young age I was going to live in California. And
right.
it just kind of stayed with me. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Growing up, I did watch a lot of television,
mm-hmm.
probably too much, found myself in front of the TV too much. And
yeah.
Instead of doing my homework. But my dad was doing my homework in the kitchen, so that was fine. I had everything covered. I didn't really know I wanted to be an actor until probably when I went into college. Although I was, when I was in fifth grade, when I was 10 years old, I was the Artful Dodger in a high school production of Oliver, and I had a great time. So, you know, that was my brother. My brother, Rob, was a senior in high school. Every year, Brother Rice High School puts on a senior class play, and that year it happened to be Oliver, and he came home, said, you know, they're auditioning kids for the Orphans. Do you want to try out? I thought, I don't know that I want to do that. And he goes, it might be fun. So I tried out, and I had a great time. And they cast two freshmen, one to play the Dodger and one to play Oliver, because they were such big roles. And those guys kind of flaked out along the way and didn't come to some rehearsals. So the director tried out all the little kids, you know, us fifth and sixth graders that were there for the play of the Orphans, and I ended up getting the Artful Dodger part. And I had a great time. And maybe that was the thing that lit the fire under me. And it just kind of stayed in the back of my mind. And I went to college majoring in marketing, and I went to 2 years of school in Wisconsin, not really being happy with what was going to happen. It's like, you know, how is this, where am I going, what am I doing, am I wasting my time, what the heck is going on? And so I ultimately did not go back to school. I went to my freshman and sophomore year, didn't go back my junior year, and it was that summer that I looked into acting. And I talked to a lot of people, you know, and in Chicago, it was a friend of a friend who introduced me to an agent, and the agent said, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a model, or do you want to, this guy that introduced me was a model in Chicago, and, it was actually a teacher at my high school,
mm-hmm.
knew this guy, I believe his name was Bud Lauren, and he was one of the top male models in Chicago, doing Sears and, you know, catalog stuff and that kind of stuff, men's clothing, and getting his advice. And he said, what should this guy do? And he goes, well, you know, I can set him up with my agent. So he set me up with the agency Shirley Hamilton in Chicago, and I
mm-hmm.
met with one of the assistants there, and she was the one that said, you have to decide what you want to be. Do you want to be a model, or do you want to be an actor? And I thought, well, I want to be an actor. And she goes, okay, well, then this is what you got to do, and you got to take classes. And from there, I, you know, looked up classes and looked where I had to go and looked up jobs, and it's always been connect the dots. You know, this
right.
dot connected me to this person, or, you know, I would go and do something here, and I would meet someone who would then connect me to someone there. So from Shirley Hamilton, I went, what happened? Oh, I needed acting class, and the only place I could get an acting class at night, leaving my days open for auditions, was a place called John Robert Powers. That was a modeling agency, but they
mm-hmm.
offered acting classes. So when I went there, this one girl talked me into taking this crash course modeling course. So what happened was I took that modeling course. At the end of that 3 weeks, there was a photographer and a makeup artist who needed to do photos for their own books, you know, so they could promote
mm-hmm.
themselves because they're new in the business. So
mm-hmm.
we did what was called a test shooting. I didn't have to pay any money for the photos. The photographer, you know, I got to get some pictures. All I had to pay for was my pictures. The makeup artist did some commercial type, you know, 7-Up football shots with the mud on the face and, you know, squirting the water in your mouth and different types of shots. The makeup artist took her book around to the different agencies. It was that agency, the Getty's agency, that one of the girls there, Adrian, saw my picture, said, "Who is this guy? I've never met him before," and told him who I was. She says, "Have him call me." So I called her, and I met with Adrian, and I met with Ann Getty's, the head of the agency, and they liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that's kind of where it started, because it was from that point, now I needed a nighttime job, and I got a job at a nightclub, and I met an actress who turned me on to a theater. It's where I took my acting classes. And, you know, it was just a long journey through process to finally ultimately come out to California in 1983 was when
right.
I came out. And I met my wife a few months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of the struggling. And then actually I had a show called Werewolf, which was on Fox. That was back
yes.
in 1987. So that was kind
mm-hmm.
of my first big break. And then, you know, there was a writer strike and was back to ground zero, and we needed money, and so I went back waiting tables because my wife was expecting a baby, and
right.
then we get General Hospital, and here we are.
And it's been some journey for you. I'm telling you, you have like the best story I've heard so far. Really, you do.
It's very interesting, that's for sure. I mean, and it just seems like it's just gone by so fast. But
now,
you know,
if say tomorrow somebody said, "You know what, John, you can't act anymore," what would be your choice of profession?
Wow. People have told me I can't act now. Let's see. What would
lying.
Be my choice? I mean, if you're saying I have the knowledge, the intellect, smarts, and possible ability, there would be a couple of things, because I've always wanted to, you know, go to the moon. I've always wanted to be an astronaut. But I'm not
okay.
smart enough to do that. And I'd be a professional golfer because I love the game of golf and I love to play
mm-hmm.
golf. And but you need to have skill to do that. And so let's just say I'll be in the top 50. I could be in the top 50. That would just...
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, are you ready for some callers there, John?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to bring on area code 301. You're on the phone with John.
Hi.
Hello, 301.
You can call me Mary if you'd rather.
Mary?
Mary, yes.
Hi, Mary.
Well, I just wanted to first off say thanks so much for talking to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We're really excited to have you. We wish we would see you a little bit more on screen recently.
Yeah, well, but you know, you never know. You never know.
They just, actually, we were talking about it on the board. I don't know if you know what's airing now, but yesterday was the scene where Mac walks in on Maxie and Spinelli in bed.
Oh, jeez, I didn't even see that one yet.
That was funny.
Oh, it's hysterical.
It was
really, really good.
It's a lot of fun. You know, you guys, it's so... I mean, I just have the most fun of anyone in the whole wide world. I just work with these really, really talented people. Bradford is so talented. Kirsten is fabulous. You know, it's really easy for me to do my job, and we really have a lot of fun. And believe it or not, even when you're crying because Georgie was killed, you know, even those scenes, as depressing and sorrowful as they were, it's still, you know, to be looking into these actors' eyes who I've worked with for so many years, it really is. It's kind of cliche to say we're a family, but in a lot of ways we are. You know, we trust each other, we're on stage, and there's a love there, you know, for these people. And to go through that, it's very easy to live that life in that moment on camera. And then, again, you go from that to Bradford, you know,
yeah.
crawling around through the bed and tripping over the futon and everything else. The guy's a trip.
Well, the scenes at Georgie's funeral and around her death in general, you were so good with those. I mean, I was crying. It was really great.
Now, Well, thank you very much. It wasn't hard to get there, you know, because she's a great girl. She's a great girl,
yeah.
And she's going to do very well, I'm sure.
I hope so. We'd love to see her again somewhere.
Yeah,
so
well, you
I
never
was
know.
Wondering, I had a couple questions for you. I was wondering if you were going to play a different character on General Hospital, who would you want to play and why?
Well, I'm such a good guy on the show. I'd obviously want to play like a bad guy type guy, like a dangerous type.
Oh, you should be Anthony
Sicara.
I think
Tony Geary is an icon in the business and in just in television history in general, or the character of Luke. But I would like to be someone that coexists in his world. You know, he lives on the edge, he's dangerous, he flies by the seat of his pants, and you never know what he's going to do or what he's going to say, and, you know, and that's just his character. He's kind of a loner in the middle of being surrounded by all these friends and all these people, you know, that he's involved with. So I think that would be a very interesting character to play. Maybe not Luke, play the character of Luke, but someone that would be his
right.
His Robin to his Batman, so to speak.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool.
Wow, neat. Can I ask another question? I don't want to take up all your time.
That's okay. What's your other question?
Go ahead. One more. We got a lot of people on hold.
Okay. One more. So pick a good one. Let me see. Okay. What actors who are on the show now don't you get to work with very much that you'd really like to work with?
Well, I don't work too much with the Quartermains. You know, mostly I work with Maxie and Robin and Bradford. I mean, you know, and with the police stuff involves Sonny and Jason. You know. Who else? You know, as police commissioner, I kind of get to work with everybody. That's what's so neat about my character. I get to work with everybody on the show at some point or another, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So that's there's not one because I do get to work with everybody.
All right.
And I never get bored. So thank you, Mary.
Great.
Thanks,
thank you
Mary.
Much. I appreciate it.
Off back into the internet abyss you go.
Well, I guess it kind of helps that pretty much everyone in Port Charles is practically a criminal. So, yeah, you do get to work with everybody. They all end up in your station at one point or another.
Why is Port Charles just like the magnet for all these bad guys?
You know, it's like the little
the
mini
police commissioner is Max Perpio. Police commissioner, this guy doesn't arrest anybody.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you first came on the show, you know, Robert thought that you were like this bad guy. You were kind of like the black sheep of the family, like that little rapscallion guy. And,
right. You
know, now you're a police commissioner. Do you ever want them to write something for you that would revert you back? I mean, and bend the law a little bit for someone that Matt cares about. I mean, you're so, you know, they're breaking the law. But what happens, like, you know, wouldn't it be cool, like, if they wrote something about Maxie breaking the law and Mac actually bends it and gets her out of it, and then he gets, like, caught by, you know, the people that he's forever putting in jail, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Well, one of the best things about working on the show is really, over the years, I've gotten to meet so many fans. And, you know, whether it's traveling or at the General Hospital fan club luncheons or through the internet. And I know Lisa Bezanover. I don't know if you know Lisa. She's a really good friend of mine, and I know she's listening tonight. And so I'm going to say hi to her.
Oh, yes. I emailed her. Yes. I found her on your old website, and I emailed her that you were going to be on. And she told me she was going to be listening.
She called me and told me that she's not going to watch Lost because of this thing. I'm like, well, you know what? They were either lost at the beginning, they're either going to stay lost, or they never were lost. So I don't know what the answer is. But, I'm going to put out a big shout out to my lovely friend, Lisa Bezanover. And she is, along with all the other fans, my point being, you guys, everyone has great ideas. That's what's so fun about the show. It's like a, it's a story, a huge, you know, story that's never, it's always in the middle. It's always in the
mm-hmm.
middle of a story, and it's ever changing, and things do change. I mean, I got to play, I had a kind of a lookalike twin guy, James, for a while, who was a bad guy
mm-hmm.
and a stupid guy. And I, you know, with the stories, when you have such a large cast and you have such a love for so many characters, you know, and the stories involve who they involve, it will kind of evolve the way it does. So as an actor, just being here, making myself available to whatever is written for me, you know, I embrace that. So if they wrote that for me, when they wrote me as Norma and Eve, you know, as a woman, I got
yes.
to do that. You know, I got to do so many things on the show that I'm just so thankful. I was that rogue guy for a while. Now I wear a white hat. Now I'm the nice uncle, you know. And who knows, you know, Robin's going to have a baby, and who knows what's going to happen to Maxie if she gets older and has a baby. Maybe I'll be, you know, Uncle Mac, and I'll be dealing with babies, which I would love, you know, to be able to do on the show.
Right.
If I had to go undercover and literally cross over on that other side, that could happen. You never know what's around the corner. You never know when there could be a love story around the corner. So, you know, it's just a matter of time, and I'm really happy being here supporting all this great work that's done. And I mean, this show is a part of television history, and I'm just really
absolutely.
Fortunate being able to be involved in it. So yeah. I'll do whatever they tell me to do, except leave.
That's right. All right, let's go on to another caller here. Let's go to area code 412. You're on the line with John.
Oh, hi.
Hello, 412, Agent 412. And being 409.
Now, this is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, despite the southern accent. I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show, and two questions for y'all. One is, do y'all have a big storyline coming up pretty soon? Something that involves a line other than Morgan, you're free to go, which seems to be your like, buzz phrase.
Yes, but there's so many ways to say it.
He says it so well.
I'm the master of threats. If you do that one more time, I swear I'm going to arrest you. I'm coming after you. But I don't know the answer to that. I do know that I'm, you know, having a blast doing everything that they ask me to do, and all that's great. So, you know, I'm not greedy.
So you can't comment that y'all would be getting a show, you know, a storyline outside of the Port Charles Police Department.
I don't know. I can't. Okay. I don't know. You know, they don't tell me or really anybody what's going to happen. All I know is the next script that I get, and that would be for tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday. So that's all I know in terms of future stories.
Wow. And just one more shout out that, you know, I love all the good guys and happen to be a lawyer, and sometimes I need to cringe the way that some of the stuff goes down there. So do y'all have a legal consultant that tells you, you know, this is how it works in real life?
I don't think so. I've never seen a legal consultant around. We have a huge, huge arsenal of writers that write the show. I know that they collaborate a lot on different information. We do have a nurse and paramedics when we have, you know, those big explosion scenes and fire scenes and train wreck scenes, and when people are having medical emergencies, there usually is a nurse and or paramedics, real life paramedics. Sometimes, and they'll be the atmosphere guys, you know, that are wheeling in the carts, and they'll just make sure that things are as close to, you know, what would really happen as possible. Sometimes, unfortunately, in television, you have to take certain liberties, and someone just isn't going to get oxygen. Sorry, but they're going to live. Someone's going to have brain surgery, and their hair will not be cut. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, bless your heart, and, you know, in the alternate universe, I would love to be the character of Diane because, you know, she has such a great legal job, and I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to speak with me, and best of luck.
My pleasure. Thank you, and you're right, Alrighty. Diane. She's great. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Well, if you if General Hospital has a legal consultant in there somewhere, I want to come to Port Charles and just commit all the crimes I can because I know I'll never go to jail.
Yeah, really.
Kim Kreiner is the legal consultant.
Oh, gosh, then I'll definitely come and just, you know, run that place into the ground, and I'll never get
right.
arrested. Well, I might get thrown in that interrogation room that everybody has free will to walk in and out of, but...
I'm going to open up a frozen yogurt machine in there.
Yeah.
Might as well put a little revolving door in it, actually, you know,
like
department stores. Okay, let's see here. We have area code 682. You're on the phone with John J. York.
Hi.
Hi, are you? What's your name?
I'm Raquel.
Hi, Raquel.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, I started watching General Hospital. This is not me dating you whatsoever. I started watching General Hospital in 1990, so I've literally grown up with the Scorpios and Robin, and you. You've always been my Uncle Mac. I've always wanted
yep.
Uncle Mac. And when my dad was on my back during my younger years, it was mirrored on the show. So I have so much love for the Scorpio family. I don't have any questions because I literally just called in to tell you how much I love your scenes with Kimberly McCullough. I love your scenes with Kirsten Storms. I literally whenever a scene with you guys come up. Yes,
aww.
I'm a huge Scorpio fan. They're my favorite PC family. And, of course, I'm always sad whenever days and months go by when you don't share a scene with your girls. So this past couple of days have been like, oh, it rocks to be a Scorpio fan. getting to see you with Kirsten and yelling at Spinelli and getting to see you with Kimberly, with Robin. Robin and Mac are my favorite family pairing on soap, period. You know, the whole Stone storyline and... even you with your double, loved it. Anything Scorpios, I love. And all I have to say is just keep doing the work you're doing. We love you. Keep chugging away because I always look forward to scenes with you and Kimberly and you and Kirsten. And I'm hoping with Finola being back, there might be a scene or two with you guys. Anything I can do, flowers, send it to prospects, driving if need be. It just, I miss you guys. I miss your scenes together.
Well, thank you so much for all those wonderful, wonderful kind words.
Sorry, I'm from Texas, so I talk really fast.
That's great. I do want to say though, you know, because working with all the people, the Scorpios, when I got on the show and working with Robert and working with Finola, Tristan and Finola and Kimberly, and everybody has been great. But other than the Georgie funeral type scenes, mm-hmm. one of my favorite all time scenes was when Robin told Mac that she was HIV positive, sitting on the couch.
Mm.
Yes. I mean, I get chills right
now.
I have goosebumps.
I still remember it.
It was so real and so fabulous, and so she's just such a great actress. And to look in those eyes, share those times, and then to walk into the hospital hub, and to look around. I'm going to get emotional. I can't get emotional.
Yeah.
I'm the internet. Oh my God! I'm on the radio. Try again.
I won't tell anybody.
Or when they're done that, don't go there.
No, it's so funny that
you
mentioned that. Because it was true. I mean, just you saying it, the memories come back instantly. Because I remember watching it, my television set, and just, you know, feeling so much dread for the scene, and just loving what y'all did with it, and bawling along with you guys. It was truly it's very rare these days where you have those soap moments. Because so much of the soap genre has become very plot pointish, and you know, kind of trying to rush to the next story, but. I mean, that moment that you just described, it truly was a soap moment. You know, it's
well,
truly one of those moments that stay with you, would stay with the viewers.
More. I couldn't agree more, and they will always stay with me because they were very special, you know, as personally, just because I was there doing it. But yes, I know exactly what you mean. There is a lot of that. There's a lot of story along the way, mm-hmm. but every now and then you really get some, you know, incredible scenes that you just kind of lose yourself in, and mm-hmm. it's good to have a good cry or a good laugh or whatever it is, you know, that you're.
I love it that it's the same for the actors, because I can tell you it's the same. It's exactly the same for the viewers. We're suffering along with you. We're biting our nails along with you. We're crying and rejoicing. It's nice to have those scenes to look back on as a longtime soap viewer as I am, because you know I feel like we have a little bit of one up on people who just watch primetime shows or I don't know, The View or something. I mean, what I love about the Scorpio so much is that Kimberly's been playing Robin since she was little bitty. You've been playing Mac, you know, the whole entire run. It's the Scorpio family is really special in that you guys are still a lot of the original actors, you know, make up the Scorpio family. So when we look into your face and, you know, we the beautiful scene with Kimberly and you right before Georgie's funeral, you know,
yep.
That kind of scene invokes memories of, you know, whenever she told you about her HIV or, you know, whenever you were describing your relationship with Felicia and Frisco and, you know, it's magical. There's no other way. I know it's cheesy and I'm on the radio, but whatever. It's just magical. It truly is. We, as soap viewers, we get to have that treat. And as you as actors get to have that treat when you're acting against this person that you've been acting against for 15 plus years, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
And
well,
enough of my guessing. I just want to tell you that I have so much love for you, John J. York, and so much love for Uncle Mac and the Scorpios, and keep on chugging.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye. That was a great call.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. That was
great. I have something to say. We interviewed Tristan Rogers a few months ago, and he spoke very highly of you, John. What is it like to play a character that many people feel so connected to? Like the caller said, it's kind of like you're, you know, everyone's Uncle Mac. What kind of relationship do you feel that you have with your fans?
I was actually, it's funny you ask that, because, you know, from the last caller and just talking about the show and the connection to the show, you know, daytime is very unique in that we actors, we really have a close personal relationship with the fans of the show. And maybe not each and every one, but, you know, relative to the amount of fans and the amount of traveling we do, doing things like this, and really getting to know fans from not only charity events, but the General Hospital fan club luncheon that we have out here. There's, you know, you just get to know the same people. You see the same faces, and we have a close, you know, hands-on. It's touchy-feely. It's not like it's off in a distance. It's not like something you read about in Us Magazine or People Magazine. We actually have a connection to the fans, a direct connection. I'm flattered that, you know, people like me, like my friend. You know what I mean? I'm pretty much a lot of people know me. I've been around 17 years, and the people, you kind of get who I am. You know, I've got a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter, and I've got an incredible family that I love, and I have my family from my side of the family back in the Midwest. And I just feel lucky that I have this kind of odd job that happens to be on TV. But I'm just lucky. I'm not like, I don't know, you know, I'm not overwhelmed by it. I think it's nice and it's very flattering that people feel connected to Uncle Mac and maybe feel, it's like I say, I'm kind of like the Otis Campbell and Ernest T. Bass in town. You know, there's something about General Hospital and the Thanksgiving Day shows and the Christmas, you know, the holiday shows, mm-hmm. when there's weddings, when there's even funerals, when many people get together and do that. And that, it's just a comfortable, familiar, warm blanket, something that it's like a hot chocolate or, you know, whatever it is that's comfortable, that makes you feel good about it, you know, that you can maybe attribute to anything. And I'm really lucky that I'm involved in that soup, in that mix. part of that, and a huge part, if not the hugest part, is the writing. You know, the writers, think about it, how the writers have to write a show, and a lot of times they get hammered, you know, because the fans, they see things the way they see them, so they'd like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if this happened, or wouldn't it be cool if that happened, or if this person did this, or if this person did that, and how come this person isn't on anymore very much, and how come this person isn't, you know, as well? But they have an incredible, incredible task to write a show, not once a week, not even twice or three times a week, but 5 days a week for an hour. It's not even a half an hour show. So, you know, I really give them a lot of credit for the work that they do to tie all this together, to tie 30-plus contract actors. You know, first and foremost, it's a business, and people come and go, and people make decisions, and decisions have to be made, and, you know, I'm not in those rooms when they make those decisions, but, you know, the actors, even the ones that aren't here anymore, they're a part of that history, a part of that General Hospital 45-year history. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So, you know, it's really a dream job. It's my dream job. I tell people, I'm living my dream. You know, I wanted to live in California. I wanted to have a job that I had fun at, that didn't feel like work. You know, I wanted to have a great family and I wanted to be able to play golf and make a hole-in-one, and I did that. But, you know, I really, truly am living my dream, you know, and I wish everybody could say that, you know, could look at their life and say, wow, you know, I'm really happy. But it really, that all starts with home. You know, that starts with my wife, Vicky, who, when I met her, she was always my biggest fan, and she was the one that was always giving me encouragement, never to give up, because as an actor, you always face rejection. You know, it's not so much rejection, it's choices. You know, when you're an actor, you're putting yourself on the line, and you go into an audition, and the producer or the writer or the director, whoever's doing the hiring, says, do I want the red car or the blue car? They're both good cars, but which color do I want? Oh, I want the red. Well, I happen to be the blue. So, you know, you can't really take it as a rejection. It's just, you know, okay, well, now on to the next. And you do kind of get down when you don't get many jobs, but she was always there, and we built a great life together, and we had successes together and failures together, and, you know, we have as normal a life as you can have, you know, in this business. And being Max Scorpio, it's kind of like, you know, when I talk to the fans, it's a little bit like, wow, I guess I am that guy, because I don't think of it that way. You know, it's just like, I don't know.
I mean, like, you know, one thing that I think many of the fans say is that, you know, becoming a fan of a soap, and especially when you watch it for years, you do feel an attachment to these characters and the actors as well. And it's nice when we get to see the family scenes like we had at with the Scorpio Thanksgiving, which, you know, we rarely get to see. And, you know, the throwaway scenes between Mac and Robin, or Mac and Maxie, and it's just it's one of those things where it's kind of like we all kind of smile and just enjoy, because we really get to see those kinds of bonding scenes, and where people are just talking and being family. It's so many times it's, you know, filled with the violence, and just to see that, to see the love that Mac has for his for Robin and for Maxie, it's a nice treat to see in the afternoon.
Well, I'm, you know, it's nice to say, it's absolutely true. It goes to, I think, you know, there's definitely a level of diversity in terms of families and types of things that are on the show. One thing that's great about daytime as well is the Christmas shows or the holiday shows, when we were in the Scorpio living room and looking at the Christmas tree and the flashbacks. You know, many times within many storylines, whatever it is, they're able to bring back, you know, the old scenes and old flashback type photos and memories, and it's very unique in television to be able to do that, and to pull up scenes and to pull up when Kimberly was a little girl or Lindsay was a little girl on the show, and, you know, when I had my mullet that went down to the middle of my back. So just like, oh, gosh. But it's a cool thing to do, you know. And yes, there's the crime and the violence, but that's mixed in with the family and the Quartermains. You know, the Quartermains are just an incredibly. I remember when I was watching the show, Alan and Monica Quartermain. They were my favorite, besides watching Scotty and Peter Hansen. What was Scotty's dad's name?
Oh, Lee Baldwin.
Baldwin, Scotty and Lee, and just Alan and Monica, you know, and Alan and Monica trying to kill each other in the mansion and all that stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I was in school and I was watching ABC from Through All My Children, One Life to Live, and General Hospital, and just watched and watched and watched, and then one thing led to another, and, you know, somewhere along the line I lost track. But and how funny is it that watching Stuart Damon play Alan Quartermain was my favorite guy on the show, and here I am, my dressing room is right next to his. I mean, that's bizarre. That's too bizarre. So.
That's something
else. And the fans are great. You know, the fans are great because a couple years ago at one of the fan club luncheons, they did a special thing for Stuart and Leslie, and they showed a lot of the flashbacks, you know, of their characters. And, boy, you know, 30 years goes by pretty fast.
Yeah, don't you think that also, I mean, ABC would realize that people would clamor at the thought of being able to buy those past episodes on DVD. You know what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
For a while, SoapNet was airing, you know, old episodes of, like, you know, Robin and then three of Jason and three of this one, three of that one. People would just go crazy if they were able to buy those CDs, DVDs.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sure someone's doing research somewhere, and, you know, they're, who knows? I mean, I don't know. That could be in the works. I don't know. I mean, the way television and media is now, you're going to be able to click up, maybe go into an archive and be able to pull stuff up like that on your computer. So who knows, for a small fee.
Yeah, I mean, and trust me, people will pay for it. I'm positive about that.
Nurses' balls and all that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, the nurses' balls. We were just talking to Lynn Herring the other day. She was on with us, and we were talking about the nurses' balls. They don't really do that stuff anymore, and, you know, a lot of stuff they lost in the process, and it would be nice to, you know, to be able to watch those past episodes, you know.
Right.
All right, let's go.
I'll put my 2 cents in. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them. We want the DVDs. Let's go.
Right.
Pull some strings.
I know
there.
That ABC was doing surveys for a while on their website, random surveys, and one of the questions in the survey was, would you pay for soap DVDs with special episodes or special storylines? And I know based on whatever on some of the boards, many fans were like, yes, we'll do it. So give it to us.
Oh, wow.
That's actually, you know what's
that.
Interesting is they could do that, and they could actually get sit-down interviews, you know, with an actor on camera, kind of
mm-hmm.
like what was going on during that. So as you're seeing the scene in the show that day or whatever it was, they could
right.
cut away after a scene and say, yeah, we did this or this happened
oh,
off
yeah,
camera
absolutely.
Or this
yeah.
happened, you know, and just get little tidbits as to what – that's very interesting, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Well, get in there, John, and pull
yeah.
some strings for us.
Oh, trust me, someone's listening. Someone's listening to us right now.
And that's what I'm banking on, buddy. Trust me.
Someone's always listening.
All right, let's go over here to caller number 813. This is Maggie. Hi, Maggie. You're on the phone with John.
Hi.
Hi, Maggie.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Where do you live?
Tampa.
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa.
Yeah, I'm Robbie on Tampa Harbor.
Thank you very much.
I'm
we love doing the show.
I really want you to go on my show. And I've been working on it, but nobody interviewed yet.
Okay.
And, yeah, so in.
Yes.
I'm working on my door. Nobody replied to me yet. Nobody emailed me.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
Oh, nobody responded. What did you send, an email or a letter? What did you
yeah.
send?
Email.
Well, I don't, okay, first of all, let me apologize, because this is about as computer as I get, talking on the phone. And
no,
internet.
My radio.
No, what Maggie did, John, is that she started a show, just like ours, and she sent out emails to the ABC publicist to try and get guests on her show, and they haven't responded to her yet. That's what she's saying.
Oh, okay. I will go up there and I will talk to him and I will see what's going on. So I will make a note of that, Maggie, okay?
Yeah, I want to call them every day. We're working on it.
Oh, okay.
I will see what I can do for you, okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, Maggie.
You're welcome, Maggie. Have a great night, sweetheart.
I love you on Tenable Headbow.
Thank you very much.
Bye, all right, good night, Maggie.
Bye,
sweetheart.
You
have a. I love you too. Have
bye.
A great night.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
God, I love that girl. I really do.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yeah, she calls every show and she talks to everybody. She's fantastic. We love Maggie. Okay, let me go grab in here. I have two more callers. Area code 815. Hello, 815.
Hi, John.
Yes, hello, 815.
Oh, hi. At first, I didn't think anybody could hear me. This is Danielle from Illinois. And I'm
hey, where in Illinois?
A little town called Walnut.
Okay. We're from Chicago, is Walnut.
Yeah, like 2 hours.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, whatever. I don't know it.
Well, I've been emailing back and forth with Lisa tonight, and she said thanks for the shout-out.
Lisa, she's too much. She's the best. I love Lisa.
I know. She's a good friend.
She's a great girl.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say thanks for coming to this talk tonight. And it's always good to meet you at the GH luncheons. You're always so nice to all of your fans.
Well,
and
this year, believe it or not, I'm so good. Go ahead. But unfortunately, this year I'm not in town. On that Saturday, I am going to be there Thursday night. I'm going Thursday night.
Okay.
So there's a free party Thursday night, the kickoff party. So I will be at the kickoff party. But it just happened that we have a family thing out of town, and I'm kind of killing myself, but I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was looking forward to my annual luncheon with you, but I guess another time. I don't have tickets to the kickoff event, but I just wanted to say that, you know,
you're
going to
be there? You're going to be there at the Sportsman's Lodge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then I'll see you hanging around. I mean, you know, it's pretty much an open, wide open deal.
Of course.
Be hanging around. We're all just hanging around.
Desiree will be there also.
Yes, I will, and I'm going to the kickoff, thank gosh.
Well, I just wanted to say it's just nice to meet you every year, and all of the fans think you're one of the greatest and just nice and personable. We always love hearing and reading about you and Vicky and Skylar and how you're doing. And
my little baby's a junior in high school already.
Oh, my gosh.
And then out of the house just like that. I know. It's unbelievable.
Oh, boy. She got college plans?
Yeah. You know, hopefully close by. We've spent a lot of the last few months looking at colleges up and down the state, you know, from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco. And it's just very exciting, you know, and it's exciting for her. She's thinking about what she wants to major in, what she wants to do, and maybe she'll stay close to home, but I know she wants to go away. You know what I mean? She wants to live on campus somewhere. So.
Oh yeah.
To be young and foolish.
Oh God.
Well,
I remember those days.
Yeah, kind of going back in time to like George Michael and New Kids on the Block are touring again, and that was from my junior high days. So. Yeah,
isn't George Michael going to be at the Forum?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're in Illinois. Is he on tour? Did he tour in Illinois?
He's coming to Chicago. Yeah.
Okay, so he is on tour because I was just at a birthday party and we drove past the Forum here out in Los Angeles and I believe the sign said, my wife said, look, George Michael's in concert here.
You'll have to go.
Yeah. Mm. How's the weather in Illinois?
Oh, it's good. It's getting better.
All right. Can't beat California.
No.
Can't play golf
yeah.
in January.
I'll trade you.
I know. So when are you coming to California for the fan club part, for the fan club
Coming, well, I'm coming early. Like, actually, I'm going to see George Michael in concert, and then the next day I'm flying out to L.A. for almost 10 days. I do a whole vacation around just the weekend, but, you know, I spend more time out there.
Right. Sure is a lot of fun.
Yep, it is. I can't wait. My annual vacation.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for calling in, sweetheart. We got to get to some other callers.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for talking,
John. Thank you.
Thanks,
right.
Danielle.
Bye.
See you. Bye-bye, Danielle.
Bye.
John, one of the I was just reading some of the boards, and one of the big stories that people are really happy about and to see you involved in is the story with Robin's pregnancy. And someone, her, she's a big fan. Her name is I Love Scrubs. She wants to know if you have any scenes coming up with Kim and Jason, and if you do, if you can give us a little idea of what they're about.
How ironic. That must be one of the writers of the show call, emailing. I'm actually doing some of those scenes right now. I did some today. I'm going to do some tomorrow, and I'll do some next week. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that. But, yes, I do have three shows where, you know, I'm kind of in Patrick's face a little bit, making sure that Robin is comfortable and taken care of, and you know, I don't know why she picked this young rock star to be the father of a baby, but and that's kind of the gist of the scenes. So that's really all I can tell you because it's top secret.
Oh, I understand. I understand. Yeah.
but yes, I am. It's so funny that you asked me those questions because that's exactly what I'm doing now.
Oh, so that's okay. Great. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing that. That's for sure.
Yep.
All right, well, let me get this other caller here, 863, you're on the phone with John.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Hi, Kristen, I'm from Haines City, Florida.
Hi, Kristen, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Thank you for staying up late.
No problem, I really wanted to talk to you. Like everyone else, I wanted to tell you what a big fan I am. It's so great to have a white hat to cheer on the show.
Thank you.
I've been watching about 10 years, so I got really jealous before listening to everyone who got to watch the big scenes with Robin and Stone and everything. But I
right.
got to watch you guys with, I got to watch you with Maxie and Georgie, and you really made me cry at Georgie's funeral. You did such a great job.
Thank you.
So, like I said, I'm a really big fan. I, you know, kind of paid attention when Felicia came back, but that kind
right.
of ended, and you told her off, and that was actually kind of satisfying. If there were romance around the corner, which of the current females do you think would be best for Mac?
That's a good question. You know, they dabbled
sure.
with Alexis for a while. I mean, just a breeze. Just
she does
a breeze.
Have two daughters.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that would be, and think about the available women, really, is the ones. It would be Alexis, it would be Diane. I mean, because otherwise, then you're going younger. Who else would there be?
Yeah, right.
That's kind of
yeah.
a shame.
Unless it's someone new, you know, who else could
Sam.
It be?
Sam's good
no.
with everybody.
What? Still crazy with Sam?
Sam's a little busy.
Okay,
well, busy
say so. If I really have to, okay, I'll have a love story with Kelly, okay.
We won't twist your arm.
Don't twist his arm.
You know, that'd be interesting.
Exactly.
You know, maybe get them both as a love interest, Sam and Alexis.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why not? They did it with
Why not? Get in the middle
exactly.
of those two girls.
Well, why not? They did it with Rick Hurst. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Give Mac
I'm
a little action.
I know. What's wrong with Mac?
I'm telling you.
She needs a little Viagra.
I don't know.
No, he doesn't need any of that. He needs a sensible woman in his life, that's all. Mac
that's
needs to
sure.
have a good woman to give him some of his own babies instead of all these adopted kids he's got running around town causing havoc.
I just would love to work with the, you know, the babies again and have babies. Remember when I was babysitting Maxie when she was a little girl on the show, and she's just keeping me running around. I'm thinking of the stories when Felicia was out and I had to run in the back and she wouldn't go to sleep and telling her to drink water and telling, you know, and she's making me go back and forth. I mean, it's just so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah,
That's
I...
Cool with Robin's baby.
What?
Hmm?
I said now he can do it when Robin has her baby.
I know.
Yeah.
That would be great. I hope they, you know, see it through, you know, because God forbid something happened.
Right,
after
right.
all, it is daytime.
Yeah.
That's right. You never know what's going to happen with that end. Okay. Well, is that it? Did you want to ask another question?
Well, I was going to ask about spoilers, but I guess he answered that. I can't wait to see the scenes with the scenes coming up with Robin at the, that you're taping. And there's absolutely nothing else you can give us between what we told you aired today and then?
No, nothing.
Oh.
I have nothing to say. Sorry.
No, we don't want to know. You got to leave that element of surprise in there. There's too many spoilers out there. I don't like knowing ahead of time what's going on. I want to be surprised.
You want to be surprised. It's just like when my wife and I had our baby. You know, so many people nowadays want to know if it's a boy or a girl. We wanted to be surprised because you know what? It's one of the last true surprises you can have.
Well, damn, I found out.
Basically everybody, you know. Well, I don't mean. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying.
I found out on both of mine. I definitely found out on both of mine. I couldn't wait for that. I had to know. But Soaps, yeah, leave me the surprise, and I like that. I like the suspense of it all.
Exactly.
So, listen, I have this question that I normally ask all of the people that we've interviewed so far, and now it's your turn. There is a soap being created with all cartoon characters from past and present, and you are cast as the lead. And
really?
Yes.
Oh, this is just a question. I was like, oh, my God, really?
So you were given a cast, and your cast will consist of Tony Geary, Steve Burton, Nancy Gran, and Kirsten Storms. Now, what you have to do is assign cartoon characters to your cast members as well as yourself and tell me why they would be that cartoon character.
Wow. let's see. See, I would go, I'm not up on all the new cartoons. My cartoons
could be whatever. The idea of a cartoon is to place them with their personalities.
Well, you know, Kirsten could be maybe Betty or from Archie, or she could be Penelope Pitstop.
Oh, okay.
Wacky Racers, just a cute blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Schreiner would be the Wacky Wizard in Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
You know, it was the wizard's name guy that with the hat kept trying to steal the magic hat.
Oh,
the
yes,
magician.
Yes, yes.
The magician.
Yes, the magician.
And Tony
and you have
Geary.
Tony? Mm-hmm.
Tony Geary could be, he could be like a combo platter of the Wile E. Coyote and, well, let me think. I mean, Bugs Bunny, there'd be a lot of great character in Bugs Bunny. Maybe Ken Schreiner would be Goofy.
Okay.
And Tony could be, you know, like a combo of the Wile E. Coyote and the Tasmanian Devil.
Okay.
And then who else? Me?
You got Nancy and Steve.
Oh, Steve.
gotcha.
Steve would have to be like, you know, some really handsome, you know, he'd be Speed Racer. I mean, he'd be the guy. He's the man. He's a good-looking strong man. I'm trying to think. I just, I'm not up on my cartoons.
Oh, well, it could be whatever, you know. Okay, let's see. Let's think of a big, strong guy, cartoon guy. Would have to be maybe like Freddy from Scooby-Doo or...
Yeah, okay, right. Blonde guy?
Something like that. Yeah, the blonde guy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be good.
And then you got Nancy Gron.
Nancy Gron. Oh, man. Let me think. Nancy. What cartoon character for Nancy? It could be either Bugs Bunny or Sylvester the Cat. I'm not sure, but those are males.
Oh, but you know what? Whatever. We all thought Tweety Bird was a girl, but he's really not. He's a boy, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, Kirsten could be Tweety Bird.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what would you be? What would you be?
What would I be? Porky Pig.
Okay.
Why not? Foghorn Leghorn.
Okay.
No, I want to be the Roadrunner. That's a tough question. That's a great question. I'd
very
have to get back to you on all those.
Huh?
That's a great question. I've never had that question.
When you go to work, you'll have to go and say, okay, well, what cartoon character would you be? Now, Stardust Radio wants to know.
Maybe I'll be Yogi Bear.
Oh, I love Yogi Bear.
I remember Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I love Yogi Bear. You know what I really love about all those old cartoons versus what they got out now? They really got a lot of crap out now, and I have to say that. I have a 7-year-old, and I really don't allow him to watch any of the cartoons, but Boomerang. Boomerang has all of the old cartoons, Underdog, Mighty Mouse, all those good, good, good old cartoons.
Right,
and I think those were the best.
Well, the old cartoons, the difference with the old cartoons that we had growing up, I think, in new cartoons is speed and technology. You know, new cartoons really are, I mean, it's like a massive video game. In your eyes, it's just, there's so much going on so fast. So, bing, 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 you know what I mean? There's just so much, you know, the old cartoons, there were stories, and they were slower. You know, I mean, there were moments of speed and elements of that, but you could just kind of get involved in the characters and the story and the comedy and the humor. Funny stuff. I mean, it was just great stuff. And a lot of times the cartoons are written for adults. You know, I mean, I remember watching Sesame Street with my daughter when she was a baby, and I'm cracking up because some of the stuff is really tongue-in-cheek, you know what I mean? That only the adults are going to get.
Yeah.
Very funny.
You're right about that. I noticed that also with my son when he was smaller. I mean, my oldest is 15, and we went through pretty much the same thing. But now the other one who's 7, I kind of trained him into watching the other ones, and because the newer ones are just a lot of adult humor.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
You know, and at 7 years old, they really don't get it. They're laughing, but they don't know why they're laughing. I guess that's a good thing, because if they knew, they'd be in trouble.
Well, probably what they're they're not laughing at the content. They're laughing at the imagery. You know, whatever is happening, the explosion or the body or the neck stretching or the someone falling down or whatever it is. That's what they're laughing at.
Right. Now, do you watch that show Family Guy?
No, I do not.
You know, neither.
You know,
I
got to be honest. I
got to
be honest. What I watch news, and I watch the Golf Channel. I watch ESPN.
Uh-huh.
I watch the Colbert Report. I mean, that's my called?
Okay.
Your Dirty Little
That's your
Pleasure, not Dirty
lineup?
Little...
Your Guilty Pleasure?
My Guilty Pleasure, thank you. My Guilty Pleasure is the Colbert Report, because the guy cracks me up. He's just...
Oh.
And it's kind of an acquired taste, but, you know, for whatever reason, it makes me laugh.
Well, that's what's important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's on the it's on Comedy Central, and
right,
people to do and say things, and leaders, you know, political leaders, and it's just so crazy what he gets people to do, and I just that's what I just can't believe. But I like the fact that he gets people to have a sense of humor, you know, where politicians really are not allowed to have a sense of humor or say things that are off, you know, that are just not that people say every day. I want to see someone laugh. I want to see someone not take themselves so seriously. That's
right.
What I kind of want. Because you got to, you know, no one's perfect. You know, just don't take yourself so serious. Anyway.
Will you be attending the Emmys this year, John?
Will I what?
Will you be attending the Emmys this year?
Yes, I will.
Desiree will be there.
I will be there.
Oh, great. Well, make sure you see me. All right,
oh, I will.
Pat me on the shoulder and yourself.
Yeah,
right,
she has to go out and represent Stardish.
I'll be there.
Where are you
going to
be, on the red carpet or inside? You're going to be inside, obviously, but you're going to be on the red carpet, or what's going to happen?
We're going to be on the red carpet. We'll be on the red carpet.
Are you going to have, like, a big sign or something?
No, but...
Well, I mean, you're going to have, like, a card that says Stardish, so I know? Or are you going to throw a microphone at me?
I'll just throw a microphone at you.
Do that. I'll know. That's Desiree.
Yeah.
You'll know who she is by the laugh.
Yeah. Just
hear a laugh, and then you'll know who she is.
Exactly.
Definitely about that. So, John, is there anything that you've got coming up other than General Hospital or outside projects or anything?
No other projects that are coming up. I am going to be at a golf tournament charity event for Fuzzy Zeller and his charities, and I guess it's the Tri-Cities area. We fly into Louisville, and we play at his golf course at Covered Bridge. That's going to be over the August 9th weekend. And then there's another golf charity for Susan G. Komen and breast cancer that American Airlines puts on. That's in October, and that's at Aviara. So,
And where is that one?
That's at Aviara.
Okay.
A country club down in Carlsbad.
Oh, okay.
But I think
yeah,
the fans,
I,
you know, if people live in the southern Indiana, you know, in the southern Indiana area and they know where Covered Bridge is, they should stop by and say hi. Any fans of the show, that would be great.
Absolutely. Well, what's it called? Have Vicki email me the details and I'll put a blog on our website so I can advertise it. So have her send me all the details. And we'll post it up for you so everybody knows about it.
All right, I will do that.
Very, very good. Well, John, I can't tell you, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. I just feel like I've been talking to like one of my old friends, and it's just it's been amazing.
Likewise, I feel the same, and thank you very much for asking me to come on and join this new age way of communicating. So what, people are like typing in questions? This is so wild. Really, I'm not... Wow, an actual phone rang.
Yes, you know what? That was me. I apologize. I called. I usually do my show through my cell phone, and I forgot to turn off the ringer to my house phone. So
I didn't know what was happening.
Well, John. Do you think that I can ask you to do a little promo for Stardish before you hang up?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, just, you know, this is John J. York on Stardish, you know, something like that. That'll be good. And it's already recording, so whenever you're ready.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is John J. York, Max Torpio from General Hospital, and you are listening to Stardish Radio.
Perfect.
Yay.
I love it. John, you're always welcome back, and don't be surprised if I send off another email to have you back on, because you'll be back by popular demand, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne, and Desiree, and everyone else out there in radio and internet land.
All right, sweetheart.
Okay.
You have a great night.
All right.
Have a good night,
John.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone, In the Zone is on for a little bit longer, so head on over there and give them a shout-out and call in. I know I will be right now.
Desi, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Desi, when you're out in LA, make sure you look for the person in the In the Zone Radio T-shirt because we're sitting on the co-host out there. He's going to be covering the Emmys and going to the after party.
Sweet, awesome.
Oh, real? Who's going? Sean is going.
No, Jack Payton. He lives out in LA, so he's like he went to the Emmys last year, and he's like, well, I really want to do it this year for you guys. I'm like, well, awesome. Just go ahead and tell. So we're gonna have to send him a T-shirt, so he can put that on while he's on the carpet, and then change because you know he's a fashionista when he goes inside. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm actually getting T-shirts made up now for our show too. So that'll be cool.
Oh.
But I know Desiree and Jennifer are not wearing T-shirts, so I can bank on that.
Okay, well, listen, we enjoyed being a part of Stardish yet again. And, you know, Desi and Joanne and Jennifer Lynn, wherever she may be, if you all ever want to come on our show and hang out, we'd love to have you, girl, go on. I mean, it's... I love you. I just love you all. I do.
Oh, God. We love you, too. We love both of you.
Yes, we do. We love you.
Yes, we do.
I look forward to hearing from you in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to call you in a couple minutes.
I have to go to work, so.
Oh. Okay.
All right, Desiree.
Okay, guys.
All right. Have
bye.
A good night.
You, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.